Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. One of my favorite songs. I love the Counting Crows. Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay. It's Friday. It's June 28th. The year is moving right along. And we have one of my favorite people in this whole world in the studio with us this morning. And, you know, I opened the door for her, and I'm not exaggerating, probably 30 seconds ago she got here. So you talk about being on time. I mean, she just, you know, doesn't cause any anxiety or anything. Just come on in. Now, Dee Dee had some trouble interstate with traffic. Anyhow, Dee Dee Flounlicker, she is the executive director of MANA. MANA is having their donut strike this week, and you say, what is that? So, Dee, did you bring donuts?
I did. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. We'll forgive you this time. But tell us a little bit about what the donut strike is. MANA, of course, feeds tens of thousands of people in our community every year, and Dee Dee runs that whole operation. It's a wonderful thing to help people eat. I tell people, when you're hungry, nothing else matters.
That's right.
And Dee Dee Flounlicker and the people at MANA take care of that for our community. So thank you for that. Tell us about the donut strike.
Wow. So this is the seventh year for donut strike. And what's happening is our first responders across the two county area are striking against eating donuts for 3 days. So Wednesday, Thursday, and then today is our last day. The first responders are in various locations, grocery stores across the two county area, and they're asking people to give food and funds to MANA so that we can help feed the hungry.
And I know I've worked with Dee Dee on this for years and years. And so if you go to these grocery stores, it's Winn-Dixie's, it's Publix, it's Walmart's, it's different places around the community. You'll see these first responders there collecting the food. And they've got to collect enough food to meet the goal before they eat another donut.
I know.
And so what's the goal this year, Dee Dee, and how are we doing?
Well, you know, they're doing great. This is such a competitive group, as everybody knows if you know first responders. And we have Escambia County Fire Rescue, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Gulf Breeze Fire Rescue, Gulf Breeze Police Department, Midway Fire District, Pace Fire Rescue District, Pensacola Fire Department, and PPD, Pensacola Police Department, and they are all competing against one another. The results will be announced on Tuesday. They're doing great, John. And, you know, as I tell everybody, you don't think that a can of vegetables would make a difference in somebody's life, but they do. Because, like you said, when you're hungry, nothing else really matters.
Yeah, that's right. And so I thank our first responders for being involved in this. You know, we don't thank them enough anyhow for all the great things they do in our community. But for them to give their time and effort and personnel to help collect food for the hungry just shows that how much they care about our community. And to pair them up with MANA, I mean, now you've got a force that it's hard to reckon with. So
that's wonderful to hear. They're great.
So what else is going on at MANA?
Oh, my goodness. Well, John, what we're seeing, and this is something that we're seeing across, you know, the two county area, is that the need is going up.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, food donations are going down.
Yeah.
And that's no surprise because people, you know, food prices are just insane right now. And so people who maybe could give food before to MANA can't do it any longer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're in a tough spot. And so we really need folks to please, please go by our grocery store locations today. Thank our first responders first of all for all they do in the community. And if you please consider donating to MANA, we would so appreciate it.
Yeah, and that could be either non-perishable food or money.
Yes, absolutely.
Dee Dee loves money.
I love money. And I tell you, John, we've got simple things that we're asking for, too. It's chicken or tuna, canned boxes of oatmeal, canned vegetables, Hormel complete dinners, canned fruit and its own juice. And so, you know, we're not asking for something crazy. We're just asking for healthy food so we can turn around and give that to folks in need. Over 86,000 people helped last year.
Wow.
About over half of them were children.
Wow. That's incredible. Every time I hear those statistics, I think how thankful I am that I have food on my table. But there are, as Dee Dee said, 86,000 people served, meals served, people served last year, half of those children in our own community. And to me, we can't stand that. In our own community, we ought to be able to feed people. And so you need to support Dee Dee, support their efforts to do that for the benefit of us all. So Dee Dee, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank
I know this goes by so fast.
I know. Gosh, I was just here 30 seconds at the door, right? 30 seconds ago. John, thank you. And many thanks to News Radio, too.
Dee Dee, best luck with the donut strike. And so now we're going to go to traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you are traveling, let's see here, Highway 90, from Pace to Pensacola. Going to see some delays there due to that construction, and also watch your speed in that area. Also, East Milton seeing a little slowdown right now in downtown Milton. Also, some slowdowns on Highway 29 and Burgess Road, both north and southbound lanes there. Everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Sure that you know how to do it and the best way to do it and the most efficient, best results, right? Okay, great. But one of my old bosses always had an expression. He said, Andrew, there's only two times I want you to come ask me for advice. I want you to come ask me for advice when you're not sure what to do and when you are. Which is his way of saying always ask. And the reason I mention this is because Pensacola Hardware is that expert resource. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. They know. It's in the blood. It's institutional knowledge. And so if you go there and ask them, they're not going to be like, huh, I never heard about that before. Let me see if anybody here understands. They will have seen it, and they will know how to give you advice and then obviously help you buy the right tool for the right job so that you get the right result and you wind up happy in the end. That's the idea. Pensacola Hardware, helping people in this area since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's Johnny Earthquake and the Moondogs, playing all types of music from the 50s through today. Johnny Earthquake and the Moondogs is a fan favorite, high energy show packed full of sing-along favorites. Bands on the Beach, this Tuesday night at 7.
Now is the time. Don't be left on the dock this summer. BGS Marine is getting you on a boat out on the water with our June inventory reduction sale going on now. BGS Marine Sales is a service-based business keeping boats tournament ready. Also, we have a very successful consignment program selling most within 30 days. If you've been looking, now is the time. Don't miss the June inventory reduction sale, June 28 and 29. 3910 West Navy Boulevard. Find us online at bgsmarinesales.com.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, sitting in for Andrew McKay. Thank you for joining us this morning on News Radio. It's the start of a great weekend, and we got two great weeks coming up, great beach weeks. Next week's 4th of July. Week after that is the Blue Angels, and so we've got our ocean man on the phone, Dave Greenwood. He's Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, John. Happy Friday to you.
Well, happy Friday to you. Big things coming up these next 2 weeks, big beach weeks. Tell me about special plans you've got to make sure folks are safe. I know I said earlier, 6 people have already drowned in Florida, and that's tragic, and we haven't had any here. You guys do a great job out there, but talk about the next 2 weeks and the challenges that you have keeping us safe.
Well, it's challenges that we meet each year, and we're prepared for it. We scale up our staffing with lifeguards, and we're motivated and excited, ready to come to work. It's really enjoyable to work in an environment where people love to visit. Yeah, and, I think we provide a very, very valuable service because, again, I can't say enough. People come out here and we want to make sure that they have a joyous occasion and they don't wander down that street without joy.
Yeah. So, Dave, remind us, I know we'll have a lot of visitors in, people from out of town during the next 2 weeks. Remind us of our flag system and what they mean and what the risk associated with that is.
The risk starts to increase. It's similar to a traffic light. You know, you go from green, it's flat and calm, very, very measured, low risk, and then medium risk, we've got yellow, and as we get into the red, you know, that the risk increases with strong surf and currents, and then with the double red flag, we close the waters to all swimming and wading. So that's in a brief description of the flag condition or the way we quantify our flags.
Yeah. So if I'm out there swimming and you've got double red flags and I ignore them, and I'm sure people do that because, you know, people are people. So what are the consequences of that, and how much of a problem is that, and how do your lifeguards deal with that?
Well, they deal with, you know, they, unfortunately, everyone comes down, and you know what my interpretation, the public, the way that they look at the flag system is just, you can go in the water. They don't, very seldom have ever asked, you know, is what's the risk? I'll get calls that repeatedly when we have double red flags and we close the water to swimming. They'll be in my office and someone will call. Is any chance you'll downgrade the flags today? Well, it's not me. It's the Gulf of Mexico. It's what the surf conditions, you know, that determine the flag color. And, you know, it's just people sometimes look at it as, okay, you know, red means, you know, oh, we can't go in the water, but if it's yellow, we can go in the water. And I have to tell them, hey, look, there's still strong currents out there. There's still a risk. And, you know, but fortunately, over the last week, we had double red flags for a number of days, and the lifeguards did several preventative actions, you know, I mean, thousands of preventative actions where they have to go advise the public that swimming is prohibited during double red flag conditions.
Yeah. I think, you know, a rule of thumb, David, I've been swimming in the Gulf my entire life, and I just love it. It's wonderful, but it is very dangerous if you don't pay attention. I had a rule for my kids.
We want everyone to keep swimming their entire life.
Yeah. If it's a yellow flag, and you're not a good swimmer, you don't need to go in above your knees. I mean, I promise you, because that surf can knock you down. And can roll you over, and you can drown in a surprisingly little amount of water. So if you're not a strong swimmer and there's a yellow flag, stay out, or at least don't go any deeper than your knees. That's my advice.
Well, that's a great advice. And, you know, unfortunately, people, again, they're on vacation and they come down here to get in the water. And, you know, that often conflicts with the risks and some of the things that we try to mitigate. And that's why the lifeguards, they don't enjoy, you know, closing the water, because they have to go down and tell people they can't go in the water. And a lot of times, you know, that discussion, sometimes you get a little heated, but I'm happy that the lifeguards do an outstanding job, and they're very, very, very conscientious of keeping people safe.
Yeah, people need to understand that the lifeguards are not there to prevent you from having fun. They're there to prevent you from dying. The enforcement of the flag system is in your behalf, not the other way around. So the flag system is not the swimming police. It's the swimming rescuers. It's people who are giving you great information so you can make decisions about whether it's safe or not. Because sometimes if you just look at the water, you really can't tell if there's an undertow, if there's an undercurrent, a rip current.
Don't use the word undertow, because undertow creates all kinds of unknown fears. And again, when you're getting pulled, if you're in a rip current, you're getting pulled away from shore. You know, they always tell you the first thing is don't panic, but that's sometimes a little hard to do. And then if they think I'm going to get pulled under, no, they pull you out. They don't pull you under. So if you just float, conserve your energy, go horizontal in the water and conserve your energy. About most of our rip currents out here dissipate after 200 yards.
Yeah. We're going to take a check on the traffic right now, Dave, and we'll be right back with you. So hang with us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial premium landscaping needs. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly now. If you are traveling on Palafox in Burgess, we're seeing some delays in the southbound lanes. Also westbound lanes right there at that intersection. Everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. We're back with Dave Greenwood. He is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, when I was a kid, I grew up over in the Foley Orange Beach area, and I was out fishing with my uncle one morning from the beach, and I was swimming, and I got caught in a rip current, and there was nobody else on the beach. We didn't have lifeguards and flag systems back then, and he just yelled at me just to float. And he, as you said a minute ago, I went out about 100 yards, which was very scary for me. And then I just swam to the side and swam back in. So if people will understand that, if you get caught, don't panic. Go with the flow, and at the end of it, you'll be able to swim back. But more importantly, pay attention to the flag system so you don't get in that situation.
Yes, yes, that helps. And always you need to – in dealing with any type of natural environment, whether it be the Arctic, whether it be the desert, or it be the jungle, always know your limitations. Always know the environment you're in. Have a good situation awareness. Know what's going on around you. Right now, I'm looking at the Gulf. We've got an east current that's coming from the west, and it's pushing to the east, and it's kind of choppy out here. And out of the southwest, I can see it's a light shower and some dark clouds. So. So this weekend, looks like the surf will probably increase. The last forecast I saw this morning, the surf will increase Sunday. So possibility we'll have a red flag flying, which means high surf and strong currents.
Yeah. And what about next week? What's the outlook for next week when we've got all these 4th of July folks here?
It looks like the surf will start to diminish, but that's the forecast. Yeah. And as Yancey Spencer used to say, the Gulf of Mexico can change very, very quickly.
Yeah, it can. How many lifeguards do we have, Dave? Y'all do such a great job out there.
We've got just over 60.
Wow.
We had about 66, but, we lost some to school and other endeavors. So we have just about mid-60s.
60 folks keeping you safe on Pensacola Beach. Dave.
We'll be scaling it up again. We'll be scaling it up for the 4th of July. So, and then the air show, we'll have 50 on duty.
Yeah. Dave, thank you for the great job you do for keeping us safe. And I encourage people to pay attention to the flags, not just because they're the flags, but because they represent a risk. And Dave, we'll talk to you again next week. And hopefully we've got some more good news to share that the beach is safe and people are welcome. And it's all because of the effort of you and your folks. So thanks, Dave Greenwood from Pensacola Beach. We appreciate you. All right.
Well, thank you, John. Have a great 4th of July.
All right, you too. Now we're going to go to Traffic on the Fives with John.
Well, this beach report was sponsored by All Season Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area.
Picture this. It's a hot, humid summer day and your AC stops working. What do? You call All Season Service Network. All Seasons has been locally owned and operated since 1967, offering 24/7 emergency services with multiple technicians ready at all times for your future HVAC needs. From residential to commercial, All Season provides installations, new construction builds, and any other kind of HVAC needs. Visit allseasonsnow.com to schedule an appointment or call 850-434-0384. Call today.
Good morning, Pensacola. John Hutchinson with sitting in for Andrew McKay, News Radio 92.3. Hey, we asked you to send in text messages about the debate last night, your impressions, who won, the format, any observations that you had. Keep it to less than 7 words. I've got a new one in here. It says, neither candidate won. Biden mumbled. Okay. Have you got a thought about the debates last night? Let me know and send them to me, and we'll talk about that. And we'll talk a little bit more about debates later on. So what's coming up in the news, Dave?
Well, the Supreme Court still has some major rulings to release. They'll have some later today, also some on Monday. So we'll see what happens with that later today. Also, Iranians are voting for a new president today. Their last president, of course, was killed in a helicopter crash. Over 60 million Iranians will be voting in the election or are eligible to vote in the election. They have 4 candidates they can choose from, all 4 of those loyal to Ayatollah Khamenei. So the outcome of that election probably won't bring about any major changes, but we'll see what happens with that later on today as well. And, hey, also after last night's debate, Vice President Kamala Harris defending President Biden's performance. She was on MSNBC saying that she thought that he had a slow start but a strong finish. But I'm enjoying all your analysis and all these text messages rolling in, too. Always interesting to see what people thought of that.
I'm Chris Foster. At their first debate of the campaign, President Biden and former President Trump both say the other is the worst.
He's the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroyed our country.
Scholars voted him the worst president in the history of the United States of America.
They disagreed on abortion, the economy, immigration. After the debate hosted by CNN, the main talk is about how weak President Biden sounded. Fox's Brooke Singman.
A Democratic strategist telling me, quote, this was a disappointing performance for the president, but at the end of the day, this election was always going to be close and won't be won or lost in one night. It's going to take time and effort for Biden to regain some of what he lost tonight.
President Biden said later, it's hard to debate a liar. His campaign says he had a cold. The president holds a campaign rally in North Carolina today in Raleigh. Former President Trump campaigns in Chesapeake, Virginia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 73 right now. It is partly cloudy this morning. An illegal immigrant from Guatemala is accused of sexual battery on an underage girl in Okaloosa County. The sheriff's office said yesterday 24-year-old Jose Chan was arrested Wednesday. The alleged victim, 14 years old, she says that incident happened about a year ago at her home. ICE has been notified. Officials working on a gas leak in Pensacola on Fairchild Street. Pensacola Energy says a contractor hit a gas supply line yesterday. One house did have to be evacuated, and Pensacola Energy teams are still working on repairing that line. The U.S. Department of Transportation awarding a $5 million grant to redesign 3.5 miles of Cervantes Street, that project area from North W to Bayou Tahar. The PNJ says the new design will include a complete street enhancement for pedestrians, bicyclists, and such. And it'll have some lane elimination, speed bumps, tree trimming, and an intelligent transportation system component to that as well. Governor Ron DeSantis promoting road improvements. It's part of the $14 billion Moving Florida Forward program. And the governor says he doesn't believe the state has gotten its fair share of federal infrastructure funding under the Biden administration's new plan. The governor says that's because he doesn't accept the strings attached with certain federal funding.
We are not using transportation to push an ideological agenda. Like the Biden administration is doing. It is wrong.
And the Florida Department of Transportation launching a new website denouncing the Biden infrastructure plan. That's at roadsarenotforpolitics.com. The White House says the plan, though, has sent $7 billion plus to Florida to improve roads here. The search is off in Miami for a missing paddleboarder. The Coast Guard yesterday calling off the search for Luciano Mercenari. The 29-year-old disappeared while he was paddleboarding Monday in Biscayne Bay. The paddleboard and a waterproof gear bag were found on Tuesday. So far, though, there's been no sign of Mercenari. The search covered 2,000 square miles and took 67 hours so far this week. Well, pharmacy chain Walgreens says they're planning to close up to a quarter of their underperforming stores across the nation. They're not the only pharmacy chain that's been struggling in recent years.
Rite Aid, which filed for bankruptcy last year, has closed more than 500 stores. And in 2021, CVS said it would close 900 branches across 3 years.
That is Sally Peterson there. Walgreens has not specified exactly how many stores are on the list for a possible closure yet, but they did say it'll be a meaningful percent. Walgreens has about 9,000 stores across the country. They've got 14 stores just in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Right now, there's no word on whether any of those locations could be impacted. 7:35 right now. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. If you're traveling on Palafox and East Olive Road to Palafox, you're going to see some delays there. Also, Palafox is experiencing some delays before you get to Olive Road also. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, just a little bit of moderate traffic there. And Highway 90 is looking good also. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thank you very much, John. Mm-hmm. And right now, we've got 7:35. Let's get a check on our forecast with Channel 3.
We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 70% chance of rain for today. High near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, 50% chance of rain. High near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. For Sunday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 92. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies and 73 degrees in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Nike has cut its full-year guidance and said it expects sales to drop 10% during its current quarter as it warned of soft sales in China and uneven consumer trends across the globe. For the fiscal fourth quarter, the sneaker giant handedly beat earnings estimates but fell short of Wall Street's sales expectations. Nike executives told CNBC the revenue miss was attributable to a slowdown in lifestyle sales, among other factors. Head of International Monetary Fund Kristalina Georgieva said the Federal Reserve should wait to cut interest rates until at least the end of the year. The U.S. is the only G20 economy to see growth above pre-pandemic levels, and robust growth indicates ongoing upside risks of inflation. The Fed's current rate has stood within the range of 5.25% to 5.5% since July of last year. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 36, the NASDAQ up 53. That's your money now.
You know, recently one of our salespeople came to me and said, Andrew, do you feel comfortable representing Pensacola State College? I'm like, comfortable? I love PSC. Of course I can. You bet. My family has had a great experience there. We have three boys who we homeschooled, okay? My wife homeschooled, but still, you get the point. And two of them have now gone to university, but they started at PSC, dual enrolled as high school students. So homeschool kids taking college classes for high school and college credit for free, because that's how dual enrollment works. No cost for books or classes. Teachers who understood teaching and were motivated by teaching. I used to teach at community college and university. I'm telling you, community college teachers are the best. They're great. And also, you know, afford like reasonable class sizes. They work with you on schedule. If you have any questions or problems, everybody's very eager to help. Like, it was the great transitional experience for both of my boys who have now gone to college, university, with a year and a half of college credit under their belt. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers.
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
This one's for you, Chappie.
This is Iron Eagle. I am the flight leader of an American assault force.
Sent to recover Colonel Ted Masters, whom you are unlawfully holding prisoner.
I've been to Ted!
No way.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Well, boys, I reckon this is it. Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Hey, what about Major Kong?
I know this series has typically focused on the Navy because that's the bulk of the missions here at NES Pensacola, NES Whiting Field, and Corey Station. You can hear that I reconfigured that one ever so slightly in deference to my United States Air Force guest that I have in here today. And it made me the most happy to see the smile on his face every time he instantly recognized every single sound clip that I was playing. Joining us now here in studio, I have United States Air Force Colonel Shane Seamus Moscato. He is the commander of the 479th Flying Training Group, located on board NAS Pensacola. Colonel, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Great. Thank you so much, Andrew. It's fantastic to be here. It's not in an airplane, but it's still a great morning.
Very good. Well, let's start with this. I think the average person, and this is why I wanted to do this series, the average person listening to us right now, they know all about the base, and they had no idea that there was an Air Force training component on board NES Pensacola.
Yes, and that's where we are. And I'd really like to start off with the fact that it's called Naval Air Station Pensacola, right? And so oftentimes, you know, in the military, people say, hey, where are you stationed? Where are you stationed? It kind of has a negative connotation with it, if you will. And what I want to really thank is all the public listening and the people of Pensacola and yourself for having us out here. The great thing about Pensacola is this is home. It's not a station. It's nothing negative. And really, that's what I'd like to start off by recognizing this morning is the community that Pensacola is, the support that it provides to all the military, to include us airmen on NAS Pensacola. So, yes, we're a 900-strong formation. So there's 900 people in the group. And that doesn't include the other roughly 600 airmen in the Pensacola area. So it's about 1,500 airmen in NAS Pensacola. So I always like to say Pensacola is absolutely a Navy town. I will not argue that, but it does have a gigantic Air Force footprint.
I just want to pause there for a second because there were minds blowing up all over the listening area. They're like 1,500 and 900 on NAS Pensacola. Wait, what? Well, that's why I wanted to do this series, because you have no idea. So for people who, again, you know, don't know, which is, I think, most of us, you know, you have 900 people under your command. You have four different subordinate organizations. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the 479 Flying Training Group, we are the sole producer of combat systems officers for the United States Air Force. And then within the formation,
the Air Force equivalent of the NFO in the Navy. Yes, so the backseat pilot or the additional seat or backseat person in the airframe or the additional person. Go ahead.
You got it. So Captain White Cricket, who I know you spoke with earlier. So Trey Wing 6 is the equivalent to my formation. So both of us have a like mission set, just mine is for the Air Force and Cricket's is for the Navy. So then within the group, so the 479 Flying Training Group, we have four squadrons. There's the 479 Student Squadron, which is kind of the care and feeding of our students going through the program. There's the 479th Operational Support Squadron, which, as it alludes to, is the operational support to facilitate our mission. However, what's worth noting in there, they have an Air Force-wide program as well, so the Electromagnetic Spectrum Operations School. And actually, yesterday it was a privilege of mine to go to the graduation of 12 NATO officers that just completed our program.
Oh, nice.
So we were able to graduate some Norwegians, Italians, Germans out of that program. So that's fantastic as well, which is, you know, again, a hidden element.
Right.
A hidden element within NAS Pensacola.
Do we do a lot of CISO training for foreign officers here?
No, so that's opposite.
Oh, you said that's in the electromagnet. Yeah, so that's the support squadron. That's right.
Schoolhouse. But then the other two squadrons we have is the 451st Flying Training Squadron. They operate our T1s and do the advanced portion of our syllabus. And then the 455th Flying Training Squadron, which conducts our primary initial flying training with the T6.
Okay, so let's walk through that a little bit, because this is why I think it's really good to have had Cricket on last week, because he explained the Navy component. And you guys, is it fair to call you a mirror setup to what Training Wing 6 does with training the NFOs?
It's very similar. In fact, you know, if you were to dial back when I went through this program as a young second lieutenant, it was split between NAS Pensacola and Randolph Air Force Base. At the time, it was joint specialized undergraduate navigator training, and it was a joint program. The Navy and the Air Force were one and the same. Around 2009, 2010, when our program shut down in Randolph and came here to Pensacola, it was intended to maintain a joint presence. However, that's where the great division happened, and the Air Force is training the Air Force, Navy is training the Navy. But by and large, yes, it's almost a mirror image. There's some differences, obviously, in how the Navy trains and what their mission set is, and how we train what our mission set is. But it is very, very similar. And Crick and I have a very positive relationship. Often, times, what's lessons learned and best practices we can learn from each other.
And just so, because I want to make sure for people who might not have caught the other interview and don't understand what Training Wing 6 does. So you will take people who have been in ROTC, you will take people who went to the Air Force Academy, and you will, and these are people who are not going to essentially, and pardon my civilian lingo, but they're not going to pilot the plane, but they are going to operate all of the other aspects on board a plane that's going to have more than one occupant. So not your F-16, but like your F-15 Strike Eagle, or like on a C-130 that's, an attack aircraft that would operate like out of Hurlburt. Yep. E-3s and E-8s and B-52s and B-1s that have people beside just the pilot. Those are the folks that you're training. Combat systems officers is the broad category. If they're operating offensive things, it's weapons systems officers or WISOs. And you do the entirety of their training before they learn the specific platform that they work on. Do I have that right?
Andrew, you have it. So it's, CISO, combat system officer, is an umbrella term. And so what we do is we take newly commissioned officers, typically. Some will be prior officers who want to transfer over to the aviation field. But we take young officers who have no aviation experience, more than likely. We turn them into aviators to do exactly what you're talking about. So it's not piloting, but it is providing the support for what the mission set specifically is doing. And it is that umbrella term that you alluded to. So special operators, weapon systems officers, navigators, electronic warfare officers that are doing, whatever the specific mission set is. So the pilots will, do all the pilotage, get the aircraft into position that it needs to be, and then our graduates ultimately go to their formal training unit to hone their mission set to specifically conduct operations as required.
The pilot brings the platform to the location, and the CISO or the WISO brings the ordnance
effect,
or the jamming, or the whatever needs to be done to the target you've got there. We're talking with Colonel Shane, call sign Seamus Moscato. He is the am I saying Moscato right?
You are.
Okay,
just
good.
Like the wine.
So make sure. What's that?
Just like the wine.
Got it. Commander of the 479th Flying Training Group here on board NAS Pensacola, but with the Air Force. We'll come back to this in just a second. Back now to the Colonel of the 479th Flying Training Group, Seamus. So I look up in the sky on a given day in Pensacola, and I see the T-6-2 Texan, and it's flying overhead, and I think to myself, oh, well, that's obviously coming from Whiting Field, where Fez is training his pilots in their primary flight instruction. Not necessarily. That could also be out of Training Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola, where we have Cricket is training the NFOs for the Navy. Okay, so it's one of those two, definitely. Not necessarily. It could also be for the 479th Flying Training Group, where you're training the combat systems officers or CISOs. How will I know who's doing what by looking up at the plane?
Sure thing. So, distinct paint jobs is how you can differentiate if it's an Air Force T-6. So when you look up, if you see a T-6 with blue wings and not orange, those will be the ones assigned to the 479, specifically our 455th Flying Training Squadron.
Got it.
And of those, there's 24 that we have assigned to our formation.
And that's the first phase. That's primary, would you call it?
Yeah, so that's our primary phase. That's okay. Oftentimes, you know, we'll have young officers getting into an airplane for the very first time. You know, they've never even touched an airplane before, so their dollar ride is in a high performance T-6 aircraft.
And then the second phase, the advanced training for the CISOs, is going to be in the T-1A Jayhawk.
That is correct. Yep.
And okay, so I didn't know this, and in prep for the show, I looked it up, and I thought, you know, I have seen those tons of times around the area, and I just always thought it was somebody's private plane.
Yep.
Because that's what it looks like. It just looks like some rich dude's flying out of NAS Pensacola. You don't have a lot of civilian jets flying out of NAS Pensacola. So tell them what they would see and tell them how to recognize that that's your guys and gals learning to be a CISO.
Yes, just as Andrew described there, you know, the T1, it looks like a small business jet. And what we have done is we've modified that for our training. So, you know, if you were to go buy a T1, if you have some extra cash laying around, Andrew, if you were to buy yours, then come over and see what we have. It's going to be significantly different. So we've actually modified it. We'll put two students in there. There'll be a pilot and two instructors, and they actually will do that kind of operation like we discussed. You know, the pilot's going to be flying to where it goes. And then as we fly around in the local area, simulating effects, simulating, you know, weapons employment, electromagnetic spectrum operations via those two stations on the airplane. So, and then we'll do that both mid-level and low-level. So we'll fly a lot of the low-level routes just north of here, about 1,000 feet in the T1.
Very good. And this is the sort of the mirror image companion plane, if you want to think of it, for the T-45 Goshawk that the Navy flies. You guys fly the Jayhawk. And they're not, I mean, they don't look at all alike. They're not similar in any way, the T-45 and the T-1, but just in terms of the role they play in your training pipeline, right?
Yeah, so, you know, the T-6 we use specifically to provide some initial airmanship. Right?
Okay.
Up, down, left, right, how do I talk on a radio? And then we start getting into that mission honing skills in the T-1 before we put wings on someone's uniform and send them off to their formal training unit, whether it be down the street at Herbert Field if they're going special operations, up to Seymour for F-15Es, or off to Barksdale if they're going to be going to B-52s.
So I'm driving north on Three Mile Bridge coming into town. I managed to catch a T-1 up in the air. I recognize it. Is he pretending that I'm a surface-to-air missile site and he's trying to jam me as a target?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of stuff that I...
We have, I will say we have some unique methodologies for and tactics, techniques, and procedures of how we go out and conduct our operation. What I do want
that's
everyone
a military
to know,
yes. Yes, okay, that's a military yes.
What I want everyone to know is we're honing the skills of our young airmen to go out and, you know, protect our security, our values, and our prosperity, and rest assured we're doing that with everyone's best interest.
So if you're out in the open, you could be a target. Excellent. I always think that when I see the C-130s, you know, the AC-130s going overhead, and I'm like, I know they don't have rounds in there, but I'm thinking, okay, I know what's going on here. All right, so after they graduate with you, then they're going to go off to learn the particular platform. And I mentioned a handful of them before, but maybe just tell people some of the roles that you send people off eventually to graduate from your program here and what planes they get on board and what kind of missions they conduct. Because, like, you spent two tours at Hurlburt.
That's correct.
And so, you know, staffing the Spookies, the gunships, that's part of what you train people to do, right?
Absolutely. So again, we'll put combat systems officer wings on our students anywhere from the 7 month to about a year, depending on what platform they're going to.
Okay.
We will then source out across the Air Force, send it to the special operations community, the bomber community, the fighter community, and the ISR. So, you know, the folks that we send down the street to Hurlburt, they're going to end up being members of the MC-130, the AC-130, and the U-28. You know, for the fighters, it'll be limited to the Strike Eagle, so they have 15E backseaters. The B-52, the B-1, we'll send Wizzos off to those platforms. And then the RC-135, which is really, you know, the backbone of our military's understanding of other adversaries' weapon systems that we'll use, you know, our ISR capabilities on.
Do we also send the KC-135s also?
No longer to the KC-135.
Oh, not anymore. No. Okay, got it. That's the refueling.
And then we also
plane.
Do
okay.
send to a couple of the unmanned aerial vehicles.
Okay, so you do have a drone component.
Yes.
Okay.
So we not here locally, but they'll go through our program and go off to some of the RPAs in the Air Force inventory.
So in the Air Force, your folks learn how to target and drop bombs, how to attack radar sites, how to control communications, the airspace and the radar space around the airspace. Everything involved in those missions you make possible by your training.
Yes, and we do that at the foundational level, right? So it's undergraduate combat systems officer training here. So we provide, that baseline element that, hey, we can call you a professional aviator, and then they go off to their formal training unit to hone the skill specific to conduct combat operations.
How many a year do you graduate?
So we hover right around 240. So 240, okay. We usually have about 250 students in training at any given time. But we typically graduate about 240 per year, and we're looking to expand that as we kind of grow the field, especially with the electromagnetic spectrum requirements.
And which is obviously has become more and more important over the years, because it used to be you control the air, you control the battle, now you control the EM, you control you can't control it without controlling that, as we're learning in Ukraine and elsewhere. Anyway, what happens? This is to understand the significance, because again, it's interesting that we have Air Force component here. People might start to be getting the sense of how important it is what you do and what your operation does. But what happens if you fail to accomplish your mission on board NAS Pensacola, training the CISOs and the WISOs?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to highlight where we kind of start off. So we are the sole source of generating combat systems officers for the U.S. Air Force. So, failure here on NAS Pensacola for the 479th could potentially be failure for those mission sets that the Air Force relies on to have combat systems officers on board. So, across that, bomber, fighter, soft, ISR communities, it all starts here, because there's not another base who has the like mission that we have. So all of them start here at NAS Pensacola, which is a fantastic place for us to do our training.
And you mentioned SOF in passing. People may not know the acronyms, but Special Operations Forces, which would be like what happens at Hurlburt.
Yes.
And so from personal experience, having been at the other end of the pipeline, the importance of what you do now is the training mission. Man, fascinating stuff. How many times have you seen Iron Eagle?
Probably lost count at this point, although I am more of a Dr. Strangelove guy.
Nice. So, all right.
It's all about the big board.
You can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. All right. And you did bring your lieutenant with you, and you actually brought your daughter with you, so getting to see a little bit of dad at work. And I just love it. You've been here for how long?
Just got here in January.
Oh, okay.
However, third assignment on the Gulf Coast with two prior tours down the street at Hurlburt. And
maybe an affinity, maybe a request here or there all right, I like it. Very good. Well, Colonel Moscato, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for training our men and women to be CISOs and WISOs. And also, as I say, just explaining to people what your operation does. It's been my pleasure to be able to expose the tenant commands to the public and get them to learn what you all do and the sizable component and the essential component that you provide in the training pipeline for the United States Air Force. Thanks for your service and the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Nice to meet you.
Great. Thank you very much. If I could just put out there, it's not just the officers we're training on NAS Pensacola. It's officers and enlisted across Corry Station, Whiting Field, and NAS Pensacola. So thank you for the opportunity, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Meet your tenant commanders, brought to you by Warrior Beer Company, Sorrento Road. We've got your six.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has military open mic Monday, trivia Tuesday, karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sorrento Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
So I know sometimes people think, like, I'll just sell the home myself, or I'll just buy it myself, and they don't want to use a realtor. I understand, okay? But let me give you some thoughts about why maybe it's useful to go to a realtor, especially one as great as Christina Leavenworth, okay? Obviously, you know that she sells a lot of homes, 175 homes last year. You hear me talking about her all the time. When the market was hot and it was very easy to sell homes, she could help you by getting the best possible deal as quickly as possible. When the market is slow, more like it is now, when people are uncertain about interest rates, or when they're not sure what's going to happen with that market or the economy or the election or anything else, or, what affects the price of the home? Is it change of station for the military? Are we in season or not for that? What about for, school, things like that? And even understanding, like, what could happen near that home, behind that home, or even with a new home, you might think, why would I use a realtor for that? Because they can get the builder to buy down your points, for example, and work with you, because builders are motivated. The point is, having a realtor gets you the best of all possible outcomes. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty are phenomenal. 723-9158 or look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It was a sad story for democracy.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an independent who was not allowed in the CNN presidential debate. Much of the focus is on President Biden's performance, at times stammering or losing his train of thought. House Speaker Mike Johnson tells Fox.
Now the Democrats are being forced to say openly what they have known for quite some time. Joe Biden cannot be the president in the next term, and they're in panic for very good reason.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich reports from the White House.
The panic really escalated among my Democratic sources.